Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
Everybody, what's up, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast for a Week 2 Friday edition. We're going to be talking gambling here. I'm Michael Beller with Zach Jackson and Vic Tafer, as I am every single Friday on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. And you guys cover a couple of teams that got to be feeling pretty good about themselves after Week 1. Of course, the Raiders and Vic getting a win. Zach, the Browns take a loss, but an impressive loss against the Chiefs. Vic, give us impressions of the Raiders after that win over the Ravens in Week 1.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting win. The place was going nuts. Definitely first time, fans in Vegas were able to watch some NFL football, and definitely a very electric atmosphere. Derek Carr, again, showed he was clutch. Really nice win. Defense made some plays for the first time in long, long time. So everyone's feeling good right now about the Raiders.
Yeah, as they should. A quick turnaround against the Steelers, as we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. Zach, feelings in Cleveland after a tough but impressive loss against the Chiefs and a home opener coming up against the Texans, where they're huge favorites.
Well, the Browns are going to play a lot of overs. That was evident. Yeah, I mean, I think the Browns played well. They needed to play great. You know, they needed to be near perfect, and they had three or four mistakes. If they'd only had one or two, and obviously, you know, the perfect game remains elusive and impossible, they might have won. They're a real contender. They're a real good team that has some growing and gelling to do. But, I look at the Browns plus 175 now to win the AFC North, and I think that's a good bet.
Still feeling pretty good about that one for sure. Was pretty happy, actually, to see that tick up a couple of points after Week 1, so we can maybe circle back and get a little bit more on that. But that's Week 1. We're ready for Week 2. We're going to go through the remaining 15 games on the slate, giving you one pick apiece for each of the three games. We're going to highlight our favorite five picks. Each of us has different ones. We're going to highlight those, and that's what we're going to track for the entire season going forward. We do this in chronological order, so we start with the 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff games on Sunday. The first game we are going to get to here, Bengals and Bears. The Bengals are 2.5-point underdogs going into Chicago to take on the Bears. Bengals sitting at 1-0. Bears at 0-1. Over-under on this game, 46. Zach, you're up first. Your pick for Bengals and Bears. And be sure to mention, every time, one is one of your five favorites.
Yeah, when I saw Bengals plus 3 early in the week, it was a click. You mentioned 2.5. I even saw a minus 1 today on the Bears. I just, until this Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, Matt Nagy thing gets sorted out, I can't do it. So I'm not super high on the Bengals. And I still don't think they've done a good enough job of protecting Joe Burrow. But I see Joe Burrow playing confident. He has playmakers. And I really like the Bengals here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also like the Bengals. My reasoning is everyone's talking about Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, but to me, watching that game on Sunday, I actually had the Bears on the money line, so I was probably more emotionally involved than most people were. But the defense, they had like four or five plays where they didn't cover anybody. Like, that's supposed to be the strength of this team. Had some huge glitches, and I just thought that was a bigger concern, a bigger reason for me to take the Bengals this week than actually what happens with Andy Dalton and Justin Fields.
Yeah, definitely some defensive breakdowns for the Bears. And Eddie Goldman missed that game against the Rams, could miss this game against the Bengals as well. We know he's a key piece in that defensive line for Chicago. I am with you guys on the Bengals. That's not going to be my play here. And in fact, I probably have no play on this game, but you know, no sense in just giving a third Bengals plus 2.5. So I'll throw out another one. Cole Kmet to go over his prop of 33.5 yards. He's clearly the tight end one for this Bears team. He played 51 snaps last week. Jimmy Graham played 14 snaps, really only when the Bears got into the red zone. 7 targets, caught 5 of them for 42 yards. We know Cole Kmet can be not only this team's best tight end, which he's already proved himself to be this season, but their third weapon in the passing game down the field alongside Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. And so long as he holds on to those two roles, which I believe he will, he's going to be a consistent option in the offense no matter who the quarterback is. So I like Cole Kmet to go over 33.5 receiving yards this week. Not a bet I've placed yet, one that I could, but there's other things I like more and don't have all the money in the world to tie up in Cole Kmet overs. So probably taking a pass on that one. The next game that we have on tap is indeed that Cleveland Browns game. One of the three big, big favorites on the board this week. The Browns are 12.5 point favorites against the Texans at home. 47.5 is the over-under on this one. Vic, we're going to you first. You like the home team and like them as one of your five favorite plays as well.
Yeah, I mean, Zach's got me believing this is a great team about to break through. They're going to run the ball all day long. I mean, I think Houston got their one win last week for a while. I think they're probably pretty happy, pretty sitting like fat cats. So I think it'll be a lopsided game. I think the Browns will run away with it. I have no problem covering the spread.
Yeah, I mean, until we get to December and we're playing fourth-string quarterbacks, laying double digits just isn't for me. I agree with Vic. The Browns are way better. The Browns win the game, but I'm going to go Browns under 30.5 here. I think the Texans try to slow them down. You know, I think the Browns try to save something in the tank. They started to get their dream scenario last week, which is the lead in the ball in the fourth quarter to let those two big backs loose. Mm-hmm. It didn't work out because they were playing against Patrick Mahomes. Against Tyrod Taylor, I think it's going to work out. I look for the Browns to win, you know, 28-10, 28-17, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, we are all once again on the Browns here, but not going to be my play. I am looking actually to the Texans side of the ball where we find one of my five favorite plays as well. You're going to hear a lot of receiving yardage props from me on this episode. And here's another one, Brandon Cooks to go over 60.5 receiving yards. One of my five favorite plays of the week. Volume is the name of the game, and no one is going to keep Brandon Cooks from getting volume in this Houston offense. He's going to get it week in and week out. Last week, 7 targets. I think that's probably a target floor for him. Caught 5 of them for 132 yards. And then you think about that script that Houston was in last week, a game where they comfortably led Jacksonville for a big chunk of the game. I think their pass rate will be higher than the 45.3% that it was a week ago. So I think we could see even more opportunities for Brandon Cooks in this game. And this number really doesn't ask him to do too much so long as he does get to those 8 to 10 opportunities that I expect him to have. As long as Brandon Cooks is the clear number one option in this offense, which I think is going to be all season long, this is going to be a low number for him. Wouldn't be surprised to see this start ticking up into the mid to high 60s as the season progresses. So I'm comfortable getting in on it while it is still in the low 60s. Give me Brandon Cooks as one of my five favorite plays. And I'm going to circle back to you really quickly here, Zach, as someone who covers this team very closely. What do they do to slow down Cooks this week, or at least what do they try to do to slow down Cooks this week?
Well, they play a lot of zone by nature. I think they would want to get more away from that. They just haven't yet. But Denzel Ward has been really good. So I like your reasoning there, and I think they will get plenty of chances because I expect the Browns to play with a lead most of the day. But Denzel Ward is in fine, fine form. So I would be very careful on number one receivers against the Browns for right now.
All right, here we go. You tried to steer me away from my Browns pick last week, and you were right, I was wrong. I'm going to stick with this one, though. It's one of my five favorites, and in fact, one that I've already placed. Let's get on to our next game. Colts and Rams is the game here. Rams going into Indy as 3.5-point favorites. 48 are over-under in this one. And Zach, we're going to go to you first for your play on this game.
I think I trusted Carson Wentz last week. I think I would have learned my lesson, but I don't know here. I look at week two of the NFL, right? A desperate team at 1-0 playing at home. They don't want to be 0-2 at home, and they are good enough on defense, I think, to keep it close. So I like Rams to win the game, but at more than a field goal, I'm taking the home team, holding my nose.
Yeah, I'm going the other way. I'm taking the sucker bet, the road favorite. I just think the Rams actually looked good last week. Matthew Stafford, I mean, obviously he's got a new lease on life. I think the Colts had some problems, had all those COVID issues in the preseason, didn't look great last week, so I think the Rams get a nice another win, and the Colts are indeed going to be 0-2.
Yeah, this is one of the many games where you guys are going straight up head-to-head, so we've got a lot of fun debates coming our way the rest of the episode. I do like the Rams also. Not going to play it myself, but I just worry about the pace of this Colts offense. It feels like a team that is going to have to play pretty slowly all season. Just don't have those downfield weapons, especially with T.Y. Hilton out and, you know, Carson Wentz. It seems like that's his game, and so I worry about them being able to keep up with the Rams offense that should be able to get going, even going up against that Colts defense. Here's another receiving yardage over for me and another one of my five favorites. Jonathan Taylor sitting on just 15.5 receiving yards for his prop. Last week he cruised past this number, 60 receiving yards for Jonathan Taylor. Seven targets, caught six of them for those 60 yards. Five of those came with this game still in doubt against Seattle a week ago. Three of those were screens. All five were legitimate pass routes, no pass blocking, and then dump offs to him. He's going to be a fixture of this passing game. He has to be a fixture of this passing game when you consider that there is no real alpha in the receiving core or as a tight end. So I think that he and Nyheim Hines are going to be big, big parts of this passing game week in and week out. And 15.5, I mean, as long as he gets four or five targets, he's getting over that. And the fact that so many of his targets last week were when the game was in doubt and designed plays for him suggests to me that he's going to get those four or five targets pretty comfortably every week. One of my five favorite plays, Jonathan Taylor to go north of 15.5 receiving yards. Next game up on the board, you guys, is an AFC East showdown between the Bills and the Dolphins. Bills need this one. They took a loss last week against the Steelers. Dolphins pulling off a win over the Patriots. Bills are 3.5-point favorites on the road. 47 is the over-under. Vic, what do you got for Bills and Dolphins?
I almost made the Dolphins one of my five favorites. I think it's a good spot for them. Everyone thinks the Bills are going to bounce back. Their offense didn't look like in sync last week. I think at Miami is a tough place to play, especially this time of year. The Dolphins looked good, I thought, last week. I thought the defense looked good. Tua made enough plays. Waddle was a factor early on, so I like their. I think it's a good spot for them. I think they're going to have a lot to play for, and I think that the half point is also very attractive. The 3.5 makes me like that one even more.
You know, mid-September is probably too early for teams to be desperate, but you know, I like this angle, and I think the Bills are good enough to be desperate, to be disappointed, to be all sorts of pissed off about last week, right? So I look for an offensive bounce back from them. The Dolphins getting Will Fuller back. I like what I've already seen in the young receivers they have. I think this turns into a little bit of a shootout because I think the Bills are going to score. So, Vic, I lean your side, but one of my five favorite plays of the week is over 47 here. I think the Bills are going to get 24, 28, maybe 30 themselves, and I expect it to be a neck-and-neck game.
Yeah, I think this is a close game as well, and I lean toward the over. I also lean toward the Bills -3.5 just because I think they bounce back. I still think that there is a very, very good football team in here, way more the 2020 version than what we saw in week one against a really, really strong Steelers front seven. Let's not discount that they went up against a defense that we could be looking back at the end of the season saying this is the best front seven in the league. So I'm not going to write the Bills off just yet. It is definitely not even close to being a play for me, but I do think that the Bills offense has a good bounce back game in it this week against the Dolphins. So that's what I'll mark down for the show, but I am staying miles away from this one with my actual wallet. And that leads us into another AFC East game that we've got in the 1 p.m. Eastern window. Of course, if Bills and Dolphins are playing against each other, that means the other one is Patriots and Jets. And Zach, another total for you, another favorite for you. What do you got in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I just can't go rookie quarterback against Bill Belichick, right? But I also don't know if I can lay 5 or 6, and it's bounced around all week. I like the under. I think the Patriots picked Mac Jones because they have a way they want to play, and they want to play conservatively. They want to use this big back, you know, Damian Harris. And I just don't think the Jets can score a ton. So I think this is a classic Belichick defensive performance and a conservative offensive performance. And I really like – I mean – in today's NFL, going under 43 is hard. But in this game, I really like this one.
Yeah, we're exactly on the same page. Every word, every comma, everything he said. I'm on board with the under. I don't like either side that much, but the under definitely sounded like the way to go. So I like that one.
Yeah, you're right about that, Zach. It is hard to go under 43, although the Patriots and Dolphins went under 43 and the Jets and Panthers went comfortably under 43 last week. So both of these teams looking like they could potentially be under teams this season. I think it's too many points. Again, this is not a play I'm making. I am picking this game in my super contest pool where I have to pick five games, but that's just a pool. That's not something that I'm actually putting money down on this particular bet. I think this is too many points. Until we see something from the Patriots offense that suggests they can be a 24, 27 point per game, maybe not point per game, but that they just have that sort of juice in the offense, I think six is too much for them to be laying on the road really against almost anyone in the league. So I think this is a good amount of points to be getting on the Jets. I like them as the side in this game, but again, to stress it, not one that I am actually going to be betting this weekend.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's move on to a big NFC clash, you guys. 49ers and Eagles, both these teams feeling good about themselves after getting a win in week one. 49ers go into Philly as 3-point favorites. 50.5 is our over-under on this one. Vic, I am loving the bet that you've got for this one. Pleasing this all the way up to 49ers minus 13.5. You're getting plus 360 on it. Make the case for a Niners blowout.
Well, we talked about earlier, I'm a big Niners guy this year. I think they now we got some value. They obviously blew that big lead last week. The Falcons weren't very good, so the Eagles kind of looked really great against the Falcons. I'm not sure what that means going forward, but I think the matchups are in the Niners' favors. I think it doesn't matter who's running the ball. They're going to run the ball for a lot of yards, control the game. So I tease it up for maximum value, five fair plays, super five-star extra bullet.
What's your 1-900 number?
I should get one, yeah. But yeah, I like them. I just think it's a good spot. I think they're a great team. I think they obviously have a defense to slow down Jalen Hurts. I think the offense will be fine without Mostert.
Yeah, this is not one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. You know, the Niners have not gone home. They went from Detroit to West Virginia. They'll go play the game in Philly. Vic, I'm with you. Philly is not really that good. They won last week. But I do like what Jalen Hurts is doing. I think Shanahan has the pieces he wants for this offense. And I think they'll go at it a little bit. So I think some big plays in this game. You know, Atlanta was so bad last week, they really drug Philly into the mud. And that game stayed way under. I think this one's going over. Don't love the side, but I do like the over here in this one.
Yeah, this is going to be a spot where we learn a lot about the Eagles. They look good. You can't take that away from them, but how bad are the Falcons? How much of that had to do with the opponent they were playing? We're going to get a good picture of what the Eagles really are after this game. Don't love either side. Don't really love the total. I'm going to throw out another one of these receiving yardage numbers. It's Deebo Samuel to go over 59.5. So long as he's the clear alpha, and that looks like the case, at least among the wide receivers, this is way too low a number for him. If we see Brandon Ayuk jump back over Trent Sherfield and be out there for 85 and 90% of the snaps, then maybe we rethink this sort of number for Deebo Samuel. But Trent Sherfield played one more snap than Brandon Ayuk last week, and according to Kyle Shanahan, it had nothing to do with Ayuk's injury coming into the season. I believe that to a certain extent. I would be more inclined to believe it if he didn't have Ayuk back returning punts also. So I just think that Ayuk does have some work to do to get ahead of Sherfield. And if that's the case, Deebo Samuel, the clear number one receiver, he tripled this number up last week. So I think that this really doesn't ask too much of him for the role he plays in San Francisco's offense. Give me Deebo Samuel going comfortably over the 59.5 number in receiving yards. Let's move on to our next game here, you guys. What do we got next? I lost my place in the sheet. There it is. Raiders and Steelers. Vic, the team that you cover, of course, coming off that big, big win that they had against the Ravens on Monday Night Football. Now they get another AFC North foe in the Steelers. Steelers, 5.5-point favorites. The total in this one is 47. Zach, we're going to go to you first. What do you got for Steelers and Raiders?
Well, I wish you'd have gone to Vic first. I mean, he knows the Raiders 100 times better than I do. But I watched almost every snap on Monday night. I just can't imagine what they have left in the tank, right? And I'm not completely sold on the Steelers, but I do like that defense. I think both teams kind of want this slow. I think the Raiders will struggle to produce offense, and that will kind of put the Steelers into the game they want. So, you know, I almost leaned Steelers, nothing strongly, but I do think this is a game where the Raiders offense just comes out flat, and I think that it is an ugly one that the Steelers end up winning in a non-memorable fashion, and the Raiders are ready to just get back home and get on to the rest of their season.
Yeah, plus they have some injuries, so I think that and the depth question mark definitely leans itself towards your side. I can see the Steelers as a play. I went the other way. The other big question mark for me for this team was depth and also the run defense. I think the run defense did okay. I mean, Lamar Jackson's a unique creature, but they were great. They have to miss some tackles, miss some alignments. I think the Steelers will make a real effort to pound the ball this weekend. So I got Najee Harris over 74.5 yards, one of my five favorite plays of the day.
It's a brutal turnaround, as we have said, right? They play a Monday night overtime game, hard fought against the Ravens. They have to turn around, play on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern and make the trip to Pittsburgh. It's a really, really tough turnaround that the Raiders are facing. And Vic and I did not talk about this before the show. I was very surprised, not surprised, but just had a little chuckle when I saw it come in, because I'm on Najee Harris over 74.5 rush yards as well for all the reasons Vic said. And then I'll just throw out some Najee stuff. Not sure in the backfield really at all. None of those Steelers backs are mixing in with him in a way that actually matters on the bottom line. Played 100% of the snaps. That is a number we just don't see for running backs. You don't see Christian McCaffrey out there 100% of the time, or Dalvin Cook out there 100% of the time. You saw Najee Harris out there 100% of the time. It's been a staple of the Mike Tomlin era, whether it's Le'Veon Bell, whether it's D'Angelo Williams filling in for Le'Veon Bell, going all the way back to Willie Parker. He wants to trust one true running back. That's why they went after Najee Harris in the draft, and that's how they're going to treat Najee Harris all year. I think against this defense that is coming off that really long game just 6 days ago, really like Najee Harris to get over this number. And if it plays to that 5.5 script, you can bet he's going to be churning out the yards in the second half. Next game up on our list, Saints and Panthers. The Saints, 3.5-point favorites in Carolina, 44.5, the over-under on this one. Vic, you're up first. Your play for Saints and Panthers.
I didn't like either side too much. I think I could see the arguments from both sides, but so I went back to what's going to be the difference. I think the defense on both sides is pretty good. I think the Saints defense is still underrated. I think the quarterbacks on the other side don't really excite me too much in this matchup, so I took the under 44.5.
Number one play. Can you mix in some music and some balloons or something?
Bum-ba-da-ba! How's you that?
Know, the Saints were obviously awesome last week, right? They haven't been home in 4 weeks. They've been through a lot. I just think there's a natural letdown coming. It's a division game, and the Panthers, you know, did not exactly dispose of the Jets, but I see more than a field goal at home. I like this Panthers team. I just don't think the Saints can replicate that performance. I like Carolina on the money line, but Carolina plus 3.5 is my number one play of the week.
Yes, I love that. That is a play that I am on as well. Not in my five favorites, but mostly just to diversify us. And because there's another thing here I like as one of my five favorites. It's on Carolina's side. It's got something to do with Christian McCaffrey. Give me over on his total yards of 113.5. This is a mark that Christian McCaffrey pretty routinely goes over. If you go back to the start of the 2018 season, that was his second year in the league. That was his first year as the feature back. He was third on carries on this team in his rookie year behind Jonathan Stewart and Cam Newton. So go back to the start of the 2018 season. Christian McCaffrey has played 36 games. He's gone over this mark 24 times, and five of the 12 that he came up short in happened in the first half of that 2018 season. A couple of the others were week 17 games where he was used sparingly. There were a couple of games where the Panthers were more than touchdown underdogs. None of that is in play here. This is as bankable a high total that you are going to find in the NFL. So I think Christian McCaffrey sails past this number. He did it last week. This is just something that we come to expect of him. He could go over this in just rushing or receiving alone, let alone getting both of them together. I think Christian McCaffrey ends up having a big game, especially since I am with Zach. I like Carolina with the plus 3.5, and that money line is something that I'll be thinking about as well. So Christian McCaffrey, my guy in this one, think he goes over that 113.5 total yardage number. Broncos and Jaguars, you guys. Next game up, Broncos are -6 in this game. -6 in Jacksonville. 45 is the total. I mean, guys, I know that the Broncos look good to, you know, I'll say good against the Giants, and the Jaguars, they look terrible, but 6 feels like a big line to lay going on the road. Zach, you're up first here. What do you got for this one? I will say, no favorites from any of us coming from this one.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first game you throw out, but for the purposes of this show, I'll take the Jaguars. I think history just says when, you know, everyone's down on a team, right? Mm-hmm. And Denver's on the road for a second straight week. I don't know. I mean, maybe the Jaguars are the dumpster fire that everyone believes them to
Urban
be.
Urban to USC.
So, after this game. yuck for me, but I'll hold my nose and take the points with the home team.
I don't know if you guys watched that video of Urban when he was asked about the USC job. He kind of looked at the floor. And he mumbled something about, nah, it's not going to happen. But didn't. There was no eye contact. I couldn't really hear what he was saying. If you're a player on that team, you see that. You're like, there's no way he's going to be here past this year. So, you lose to the Texans. Your coach wants out. I mean, it's over. I think they six points is a ridiculous number. But give it to me. I'm laying the 6. Vic Fangio, coach of the year. I'm all on board. Let's go.
It's too ridiculous of a number to want to get on board with. That's really the only thing here. It's why I'm on the Jaguars too. I'm not touching this game, like Zach said. Just because we're talking about it, and just because that's the conceit of this show is that we talk through every game and give you a play for every game. But I'm with Zach. The first game, when you just scan the sheet, no interest in playing this game, no interest in playing either side, no interest in playing either total. Didn't really bother even looking through the props because time is finite and can only look through so many things. So I'll take the Jaguars because it just feels like too many points, bottom line. But I have no confidence whatsoever in that play. Let's just move on from this one because we've got a much more fun game as our next one up, and that is the Vikings and the Cardinals. Two good offenses, potentially a great one in Arizona. Cardinals -3.5, 50.5 is the over-under in this one, and this is going to start a string. I think it's this one. Actually, it was the one before this, but who cares about that? We've got a long string coming of you guys going head-to-head right on the exact same stuff. So this is one of them. Vic, you are up first. What's your play in Vikings and Cardinals?
I went with the over, didn't I? I think I did. That sounds right. Yeah, okay. So the over because why? What was the reason with the over? Because the Vikings had some linebacker problems, some injuries, linebacker. Obviously, yeah. Arizona looked great last week in offense. Kyler Murray is an unbelievable play. So they'll score. I think the Vikings offense will score also. I think the Cardinals defense looked good last week. How much of that was the Titans offensive line problems? I don't know, but I think both teams will score a lot of points over 50.5, right?
You know, I went the other way for the simple reason of Minnesota has to be angry, has to be desperate, and I just think they have to try to play keep away. I really do. I think they have to use Dalvin Cook. I think they have to sit back on defense and dare Kyler to dink and dunk them rather than let it rip. So, you know, this barely made my 5 faves list. It's, you know, I'm high on Kyler Murray, and if he goes for 40 himself, I won't be shocked. But I just think game flow here, if the Vikings are going to keep it close, and I think they have a chance to, I think they want more 24-21, and the Cardinals want more 38-35.
Yeah, this one just barely missed my five faves list, and I'm on the Cardinals minus 3.5. I'm back in, Vic. I am back all the way in after what we saw from Kyler last week. I'm in. They're winning the NFC West. No, they're not winning the NFC West. Well, maybe they'll win the NFC West. I'm not a bet I'm making, but I am totally back in on this Cardinals team after what we saw. I mean, Kyler Murray just looks like, Zach, I'm jealous of that MVP ticket you're holding after what he did last week. Four touchdown passes, the touchdown run, some ridiculous playmaking, especially on that first touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins. Just unbelievable play. And I think there's a chance that this Vikings defense has really taken a turn. We saw it last year. Not the sort of defense we expect from Mike Zimmer. We just sort of gave him the benefit of the doubt, which he has earned, certainly, over his career. But they didn't look great last week. Now they've got all those linebacker issues. That is not something you want going up against this Arizona team. So I think the Cardinals really put an exclamation point on what they did last week with a comfortable home victory over the Vikings. And we start talking about them as being a big part of the reason as to why the NFC West is just stacked 1-4. Not in my favorites. Did just miss out. And if I was picking just sides and totals, it would be in my five favorites. But since we're mixing the props in as well, it missed out for that reason. But I do like the Cardinals -3.5 quite a bit this weekend. Next game up, you guys, is another one of the big favorite games. We've got the Buccaneers and the Falcons getting together in Tampa. Bucs laying 12 in this one. The over-under on it, 52.5. Zach, you are up first. You've got a strong case to make for the dog in this one.
Well, I don't know how strong, but I think everybody watched the Bucs look just great, right?
Yep.
And everybody followed the Falcons, and they were miserable. Yep. So I'm just going against the trend here, and here's what I like. This game can be 31-13 and over with 5 minutes left, and I'm alive. And if it is that, Atlanta clearly needs the work. They had the whole fourth quarter garbage time last week and couldn't get anything going. I think they'll get a little bit going here, and I think just enough to keep it just inside this number. I don't expect it to be easy. I'm not saying money line. I'm saying the Falcons steal one in the closing minutes. Steal a cover, excuse me.
Yeah, this would be the first game that I would throw out. There's really no side here I loved. I mean, I think it's way too many points, but I also don't want to take the Falcons. I think the Falcons had trouble last week. I'm not sure about Matt Ryan and the new offensive coordinator, new coach, new offense. I'm not sure how it's going to jibe so quickly. So, Bucks, they're a real deal. Tom Brady having another career year at age 44. It just gets better and better. So I'll ride that wave in the later 12, even though it's not a big play of mine, just for this show's purposes only.
Yeah, the sides in this one were easy for me to throw out. The total was easy to throw out. As good as the Bucs look, too many points. As much as I think it's too many points, I can't get on board with you, Zach, and hope for that backdoor cover, or hope for a hanging around sort of cover. But there is a prop that I like in this one. I went to Kyle Pitts over 44.5 receiving yards last week. He did not get to it. It's bumped up 4 yards. I am still in on Kyle Pitts to go over his number. 48.5 yards, eight targets last week. And that's going to be there for him. It's him and Calvin Ridley in the passing game. And to a certain extent, Mike Davis, who had 6 targets in that game. I was very tempted to go with Mike Davis's over total yards prop, which I believe was at 79.5. But we know how good that Tampa run defense can be. I think you would have to do a lot of it through the air. And when you have guys like Ridley and Pitts, I'm not trusting Mike Davis to get there with his receiving yards. But I think Kyle Pitts, one of these days, and it's going to happen soon, he's going to smash this number. And it's going to be living in the 40s, maybe low 50s, until he does have that blow-up game. And we know what Kyle Pitts is, you guys. We know it. He's the Julio replacement. He can be the Julio replacement. They're already treating him like the Julio replacement, the way they're deploying him. The 8 targets he got last week. Love this over 48.5 receiving yards. I think Kyle Pitts smashes that, especially if we are talking about a 2-touchdown game where the Falcons are asking Matt Ryan to drop back and throw the ball 50 times. Give me Kyle Pitts going over this 48.5 number. And we've got a lot of fun games, you guys, to wrap up our slate. The first one is Cowboys and Chargers. Should be a great game between these two teams. Chargers at home, laying a field goal 55.5. Is our over under here. Zach, you take this one away. I can't remember where I'm at here. Actually, I think it's Vic. Vic, you take this one away. Your play on Cowboys and Chargers.
I want the Chargers only because of DeMarcus Lawrence injury. They had the offensive line injuries last week. I think that's a lot to overcome. Chargers look good. I think I don't love the play, but I think the DeMarcus Lawrence injury is a big deal. I think that's going to be tough for them to overcome against a tough opponent.
I know this Monday morning when I looked, the total was 52, and then it was up to 55.5. So I think I've even seen 3.5 pop on the Cowboys in some places. I'm with Vic. I'm worried about the Lawrence injury, but you know the Cowboys don't want to be 0-2. I'm a big Chargers guy this year, as you guys know, but I think maybe this is a really, really close one, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers win but don't cover that 3.
Yeah, this is one that I just want to sit back and cheer for points. That's really all I'm doing, and I wish I would have gotten on it earlier in the week. Obviously, for the purposes of this show, we're talking about the lines as they are as we record. So 55.5 would be what I was talking about anyway. Obviously, you'd much rather be on the 52 than the 55.5, but I love this. No DeMarcus Lawrence, as we've said, for Dallas. That's going to open things up a little bit for the Chargers offense. And these two teams played at two of the fastest paces last week in neutral game situations. We're talking outside of the last 2 minutes of the half, 20 to 80% win probability for both teams. These two teams were playing fast, fast, fast. And that gives me even more confidence in the Chargers because they were able to do it in a game where they only scored 20 points. And they went up against a very tough Washington defense on the road, and they were still playing at that pace. This is a totally different situation, a much softer defense playing at home. They're going to play with a ton of pace. There is no slowing down Dak Prescott. Give me this one over. 5 faves, 55.5, 5 fives in there. Feeling pretty good about that one. Our next really fun game on the slate, and I think this is one where, I mean, the lockstep that we are in on this is both encouraging and perhaps a little concerning. Titans are 5.5-point dogs in Seattle against the Seahawks. 54 is the over-under on this one. Zach, you be our leadoff man in explaining why we love the Titans here.
Well, I think the Titans have major defensive issues, and that worries me. But there's a trend in my picks, and I just think there's a historical trend. 0-1 teams show up. They don't want to be 0-2. And the Titans really got throttled thoroughly last week by the Cardinals. So long trip out to Seattle, but you know, this is a veteran team. I like Mike Vrabel, not just because he's from Akron, Ohio. But you know, they've established some things in their organization, and I think they give their best effort and keep it within the 5.5 here in this ballgame.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're a proven, tough team. Got some metal. I think it's obviously a bounce-back spot for them. I like the coaching. I like the experience they have on offense. I just think Derrick Henry has a big game. So I went a step further. I took the points, and I went, you know what? That's not enough. I want the money line. So I want the money line plus 190. Yeah. I just think it's a really good spot for a team that's shown in the past they respond to adversity pretty well.
They're better than they were last week. And you could there's room for them to be better than they were a week ago. There's plenty of room for them to be better than they were a week ago and maybe not quite the team that they were a season ago, especially with the growing pains that are just going to be natural going from Arthur Smith to Todd Downing. But I still feel as though this is a just excellent spot for this team, getting that 5.5 here. Really, really like the Titans in this game. And Seattle, for as good as they, you know, maybe good's the wrong word, but for as, you know, much as they controlled Indy's offense a week ago, it's still a defense that we have some reasonable questions about. And it's still a defense that feels like it's beatable in the secondary. And then you think about the Titans changing things up a little bit. You think about the fact that the Seahawks played a much different offense in Indy, as I said at the top of the show, a team that just by design is going to play a whole lot slower than what Tennessee is going to play like. This just feels like an overreaction on both sides to how good Seattle looked a week ago, how bad Tennessee looked a week ago. 5.5, way too big a number. It's one of my 5 favorite plays, absolutely, this week. Next up, we've got just a couple of games left, our primetime games. And the first one, it's a big one, Chiefs and Ravens in Baltimore. The Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites in this game, and the total sitting at 56, the absolute highest on the board. Vic, what's your play for Chiefs and Ravens?
I'm riding the Chiefs. The Chiefs hit that stride late last week. Do you see why they're the best team in the league? Mahomes is ridiculous. I think the Ravens, the injuries at running back, I think, hurt them not so much in the run game, but also in terms of pass blocking. I think they definitely had some problems with picking up some guys in the pass blocking game. So I think that will hurt them again this week. I think Latavius Murray's not quite ready for prime time. He's just got signed last week. I'm sure he's going to learn the offense. So I think that's going to hurt them a little bit. And we'll be able to help them keep up with the Chiefs. But you got to keep up with the Chiefs. You can't fall behind too much. So I like the Chiefs.
You know, two good teams here. What does the regular season mean to the Chiefs? Well, obviously they want to be the one seed. The Ravens got to be tired. They got to be disappointed from last week, and they've lost Ronnie Stanley. So I don't love this game, but I saw Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill in person last week. I appreciate their genius. And so having to make a pick, I'll take the Chiefs.
Having to make a pick, I will take the Chiefs as well. This is when I actually bet early in the week. I just missed the 2.5 because of work obligations. Who the hell needs that? But then I still got it at -3, -105. So I feel pretty good about having that in there. At 3.5, I'm a little bit inclined to sit back and let it be, but do think that the Chiefs comfortably the better team here. And I agree with you, Vic, right? There's really no slowing the Chiefs down. If you're going to beat them, you have to score with them. And I'm just not sold that the Ravens are going to be able to do it, especially with Ronnie Stanley out. So we are all on the Chiefs -3.5. And Vic's got it as one of his five favorites picks of the week. Finally, we get to Monday Night Football. No favorite plays here, but let's round it out with some good analysis. Packers, 11.5 point favorites at home against the Lions. If there were ever a team in need of a get-right spot that had a get-right spot, I don't know if it's more than the 2021 Packers in Week 2 at home against the Lions. Zach, take this one first. Who do you got here?
Well, I feel like I should be wearing a bag over my head because I've been telling you guys I'm all in on the Packers bounce back, right? So at this point, I'm all in again on the Packers bounce back. They cover easy.
This is the real bounce back, though. This is the real.
Starts now.
Yeah, I think it's too many points. I know I've been making fun of Dan Campbell all offseason, the whole knee-biting thing, but I'll give them this. They didn't give up. At least they fought to the end, which is a cliche, but they really did. They came back, made it a game. I think that Jared Goff is good enough, and the O-line's good enough. They got enough weapons offensively to hang around, and if not, they can always do a backdoor cover at the end. So I think too many points for me. I'm going with the Lions +11.5.
Zach, I'm right there with you on the Packers in 2021 and the Aaron Rodgers tour. It did not get off to a good start. I think it gets back on track this week. So I juiced up his passing yardage total. Let's get him over 300. You can get +125 on that at BetMGM. Give me 300.5 a pass yards over for Aaron Rodgers. I just think that we see that Packers offense, the one we thought we were going to see at least something against the Saints last week, which we did not. I think we see that offense this week. Jeff Okuda out for the season, of course, for the Lions. So that softens up that defense a little bit further. Really think that Aaron Rodgers is going to have a big bounce back under those primetime lights at Lambeau Field to kick off the Lambeau slate for the Packers. Just everything adds up to me. I know it's a little narrative driven, but it just feels like this is the spot where this team gets right. Reminds everyone that, yeah, it was ugly in week one, but we're still a pretty darn good team and certainly a very darn good offense because of that guy that we've got under center. I think Aaron Rodgers sails past 300 yards passing and take that +125 number on it. All right, guys, so that will do it for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. If you like what you're hearing here, be sure to check out Best on the Board as well. It's a shorter gambling-focused show where we dig into both the NFL and college football. So be sure to check that out every Monday, Thursday, and Friday here at the Athletic. For Zach Jackson and Vic Tafer, I am Michael Beller. Happy betting this weekend. Good luck with everything you got going on this weekend. Enjoy all the football, and we'll talk to you next week.